Socialism. Brooks. The new propaganda translator ring that the government gave me is really paying off. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
I know I've let a lot of people down, and I've hurt a lot of people's feelings, and I'm trying to fix that. I did watch The Dukes of Hazzard when I was a kid. It was one of my favorite shows. I just thought they were some good old boys, never meaning no harm. But now I do know who they really were. I have eaten a lot of Eskimo pie ice cream bars, and I never once considered the impact that that would have on the Inuit population, the politically correct term for Eskimo. And I know there's a lot of you in Alaska and Canada that I have let down. And I just want to commit to you that from now on, it's only Häagen-Dazs for me. I have also used Aunt Jemima syrup on my pancakes. Not intentionally, I just picked up what I thought was a random bottle of syrup off of the shelf without looking too closely at the label, but I did use it multiple times. In fact, I used the whole bottle in probably just a few weeks, and for that I'm truly sorry. I also used Land O'Lakes butter on those pancakes without giving a second thought to the indigenous people of America or how such a seemingly innocent act of spreading butter on the pancakes would impact them. I don't remember if I have eaten Uncle Ben's rice, but the fact that I don't specifically recall is just more evidence that I've taken a cavalier attitude towards these important issues that really matter. And for that, I am extra sorry. For years at Thanksgiving dinner, I preferred white meat, and I thought that it tasted better, but I now know that that was just a manifestation of my unconscious bias from growing up surrounded by the whiteness that has permeated systemically our entire society. I have eaten tacos on Cinco de Mayo. I didn't mean to insult.
Hi there. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. So grateful you're tuned in today. That would be the liberal apologist. And we're so grateful to hear that today. I have to be constantly reminded when I'm not realizing what I'm doing out there in the world and how much it's offending people. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I love that.
I always feel bad when I'm reminded of those things.
Did you always choose the white meat at Thanksgiving?
Actually, to be honest, I've always been a dark meat kind of guy.
Really?
But I probably just did. No, I probably just did that to fight that white privilege.
But you had mashed potatoes with it. So
yes.
The white and the potatoes.
But with brown gravy. You can't get me, kiddo. I'm not a racist, by God.
You'll have that with coffee black. You got to love it. All right. You know what? We'll take a caller. And then I there's so much stuff I want to get to in this hour we haven't gotten to yet. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate.
Hi there.
I'm an old-time listener.
Aw, so glad.
94 years old.
Nice.
I served in the Second World War.
Wow.
And so anyway, I've lived a long time.
Yes.
And I've been through the Asian flu, which was pretty tough.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been through a whole bunch of things.
Sure.
This thing, this COBA virus, is a sissy virus. It doesn't hurt at all. And I think my wife and I were visiting in Washington mm-hmm. in February, and we got on the airplane to come home.
Mm-hmm.
We both were sick. We both had a fever and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both quite elderly. And so on either through divine intervention, we lived or the virus is a sissy virus.
There you go.
I just want you to know I love your show, and aww, I just listen as much as I can.
Thank you.
And you have a great day.
You know what? I'm so glad you called in, because you know that caller before in the hour before was so afraid that if he didn't wear a mask, he was going to kill you and others and other of our elderly. And you know, I hope that caller's listening, because you make so much sense. And you know, there's not too many left that have fought in World War II. That's pretty amazing. Doug Fotheringham, you, I mean, I know several. That's wonderful.
Yep. Thank you.
That, hey, we did our thing. Yeah. And I'll tell you about that caller.
Yes.
These people that believe all the bull that we are, that we are fed, spoon-fed 24 hours a day by the media.
Right.
Even our own stations here talk about the coronavirus. Really, it's just something that the main street media wants to talk about because it's anti-Trump. It's part of the game for them trying to take power and turn us into a socialistic state.
Amen. And your life has served you well, sir. You know what's going on. I love this.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
God bless.
You too. You too.
God bless you.
Please call in again. I'm going to encourage him to call in again because we need his wisdom, and he's lived a great long life. And let me just tell you, full of wisdom. And this is why I love the listeners. I know how much you know, and you know far more than me. And you should be doing this job. And I'm just grateful for you. I'm grateful for your impact on people like me and Uncle Milty and the lives that you've led because you've learned so much. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your wisdom.
It's a wonderful thing to hear a 94-year-old man.
I know.
Talk about having been sick.
Yeah.
Traveling during this COVID.
Right.
And not saying wear the damn mask.
That is the truth. Yeah. Thank you. I mean, my gosh, World War II. He must look at people now as the biggest sissies he's ever met in his life. I mean, I look at these people and I'm thinking, oh, please, you're not the hope of America. These people are going to be our demise. And last hour, Milty and I did a scene of the mask wearer, and I really want you to share that on Facebook, share that and check it out, listen to it, because it's really the truth. And when people start to go down the road of wear the mask, it's honestly one of the best portrayals of there's nowhere to go in that conversation except for the person to say wear it because there's nothing backing up what they're saying.
Not a word.
So please, I'll put it on a special podcast today. Make sure that you share that because it is. It's really important for people to hear as you wind through the conversation that two people would have about a mask, wearing the mask and how insane this is and ridiculous this is. I just hope people listen. I really do. We really need to, we need to get back to normalcy. And you know what? What's really sad is what was normal was in danger. What we were doing before March, we were in danger. Look at what we've been through, Russia and the impeachment and all these things that were all nonsense. And normal isn't even normal. Normal is encroached upon. And you've got the communists running things in America. You've got these Nancy Pelosi's and these people that are insane running things.
Yep.
She's Speaker of the House. There's nobody more communist. I mean, there's a lot of people more communist than her, but she sure shows her colors every day. I can't even imagine not understanding that. You were talking to me earlier too about a group of black Republicans. What state was that?
New York,
New York. Interesting. Yeah. And they were kind of getting together. There's a lot of different people that are, the media is never going to talk about these stories ever.
No. But all of the Republicans who won their primary, and this is up in the area of AOC.
Right, right.
All of the Republicans that won their primary are black.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well, that girl's a dimwit and a half. I mean, you can't get a bigger dimwit.
No, AOC.
She won the contest. We all know that, right? They put up a contest, 10,000 people, and she won it. Out of 10,000 people, you can imagine the people that showed up. They were short a bulb, we'll say that. And she was the one that was the brightest among them, AOC, and she won the casting call. They even talk about it. They even admit there was a casting call for a congressperson.
Yep.
Doesn't that get you irate?
Anyway, gets me irate.
Gets me irate. It gets me irate that they couldn't even hide it, actually wanted to make it known.
And then I read something that makes perfect sense.
What's up?
Antifa destroyed a 100-year-old statue of an elk.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Is it the same kind of nonsense as the mask wearing? Or
They don't know why.
It was there. They demolish. They put two and two together.
Yeah, it was in Oregon. They gathered at the Portland Justice Center.
Huh.
And then went and torched the 100-year-old elk statue.
Oh. Did the elk do anything or no?
It was just typical elk. Typical elk, you know.
It was just standing there in statue form.
And it was an elk of color. And on top of everything.
Usually bronze statues are.
Yeah. Yeah, oh. That's true. But it made perfect sense to me.
Well, it was just sitting there, and it needed to be destroyed, I guess. You'll show those elk.
It meant something.
One way or another. I wonder what other statues they could destroy. Are there any birds? Or? Surely there's other animals.
Maybe we could stick them on the Audubon Society. See that guy with the binoculars? Uh-oh.
Maybe there's some hope. Maybe there's another animal. I'm sure there's something that they could destroy. Gosh, couldn't we just put stuff in their path? Maybe stuff we wanted to be destroyed.
Teach them how to hunt skunks.
Yeah! We could set them on a path for that. That might make more sense. What would we like to get rid of? I mean, surely there's a course for these people.
Well, I know some things I'd like to get rid of. That's for sure.
They got rid of an elk, huh?
Antifa, yep.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason. We don't even... why even try to put rhyme and reason on any of this?
Yeah. No one was arrested either, by the way.
Oh, well, of course not. And nobody got COVID. Those are COVID-free zones. It's smart enough to systematically go after you and track you, depending on what your motive in life is. I think that's an important part of this COVID-19. Well, I'm going to come right back. I want to talk to you about Kindle. I finally want to get there in this show today. We were too busy doing a scene called The Mask Wearer to get there, but answering nonsensical mask questions. But I'll tell you what, I've about had it with the mask wearers. And no, I haven't worn a mask, not even once. I know, nobody around me is dying. It's amazing, right? My own father, chemo, nobody's dying. I know. It must be all those other people that we're all killing. I don't know. I don't know anyone. Anyway, be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
To catch corona, you just go out to eat, Pete. Hang out at the pub, but hands don't need to be clean, Gene. Hey, just listen to me. Breathe in the sneeze, Louise. Don't worry about that moist breeze. Just touch on your face, Grace. And share a ciggy with me. Oh, just go out to eat, Pete. Hang out at the pub, bub. Hands don't need to be clean, Gene. It's all cool, you see. Breathe in the sneeze, Louise. Don't worry about that moist breeze. Just touch on your face, Grace. Let's share this ice cream.
Hi there.
She said it's all a hoax, that nasty infectious curve.
It's real. It's just a cold virus. Shh, it's a cold virus. Don't tell anybody. It's a cold virus. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Make sure you get Balance of Nature, though, because I really do feel that, according to Judy Mikovits, the past 2017, the flu vaccine is wrought with problems. And she worked on vaccines for 3 decades. And she said after 2017, a lot more regulations were taken off. And she said there's so many viruses in the vaccines now that she's really worried about them. So she said, do not take it into your body, the flu vaccine especially. And then also COVID vaccine. Lord knows what's in that one because they never can come up with a vaccine that fast. Make sure that you're taking your Balance of Nature. Make sure you got fruits and vegetables that you're ready. Make sure that this is in your food storage. Make sure you have it now, as opposed to trying to get it in lockdown situations. I don't know about you, but I sure hope your investing some money into shoring up a little bit for this fall and winter. We might see a lot of freedom taken by these overlords in the government. And you might find yourself, it might be really hard to get a hold of stuff. And, of course, Balance of Nature, you can get this product. It's an amazing product. You take a couple of veggie caps and a couple of fruit caps. It can really keep sickness at bay. It's a really great way to improve your immune system. You can put in my first name, Kate, K-A-T-E. You can get 30% off and free shipping. Do it. It's worth it. It is worth it. I promise you. You'll love this product. You'll feel it, too. Give it a couple of weeks. It kicks in, and you'll love it. Balanceofnature.com, balanceofnature.com. Put in the code Kate, my first name. Welcome back to the show. And, go ahead.
Can I do a little special,
a PSA?
Service announcement?
A PSA?
Yeah,
let's hear it.
If you are concerned about whether or not you should wear a mask, and you don't know your blood type, go find out what your blood type is. Because research is showing that type O blood type is the least likely to become ill from COVID.
Oh,
and
wow.
Type O is also the most common blood type.
Well, there you go.
So if you're a type A, wear the damn mask.
And if you go in for a blood test, you'll have to take the COVID test to take the blood test. So it's a twofer.
Yeah.
My favorite is people standing in line to get the COVID test. It's too long. They leave, and then the results are sent back to them as positive. Yeah. That's my favorite so far. Lots of monkeying going around with the numbers, people. All right, let's chat, shall we? Okay, so this was so interesting. Hat tip, Susan. Thank you for this. But I love to go down roads where something is said and we don't really analyze it or think about it until after a few years, right? Well, back in 2007, it was interesting to me when Bezos, the head of Amazon and the head of Washington Post, the bought and sold newspaper since the 50s, remember Project Mockingbird? Anyway. Bezos now owns Washington Post. Well, back in 2007, before he owned the Post, he came out with a thing called the Kindle. Okay?
I remember the Kindle.
You remember the Kindle? I have Kindle. You have Kindle?
I have a Kindle.
Okay. So this was right after the Sony Reader. Now, the Sony Reader hit in 2004, but it really kind of failed. I mean, it really didn't pick up steam. Okay? And so I thought this was really interesting on... Why was it named Kindle? Have you ever thought about this? So definitely have tip to Susan on this. She'll be on the show tomorrow. But I thought, as I started thinking about this, I actually started doing additional research to this, and it was kind of interesting. So listen up. So Kindle, what does it do? It replaces physical print books, doesn't it? In favor of the monolithic ebook empire of the Amazon Kindle. So implying that the name itself is a kind of this predictive programming tool, possibly, for a total historical erasure, right? If something catastrophic happens to the electrical grids, if something happens, you are no longer with a library of books. If you have, I know people that have taken all their books and sent them to Deseret Industries or Salvation Army and said, I got it all electronic. And I've always thought, you know, you probably should keep a few VCRs around. You probably should keep a few tapes around. You probably should keep your books around. And I'm surrounded by books because I get sent books every week by publishers, right? For guests. I'm surrounded. I have bookshelves in every room of my house.
Well, you know, we're often told television won't work if something happens. But if you have a generator, you can turn the TV on and watch DVDs and videos of like things like preparation.
Right. That's so true. Yeah. And there's a lot of really wonderful videos. But if all that went down, what would you do? See, we're so used to now relying on Google for I need an answer. I need a recipe. I need. And I go right to Google to ask. It's so much easier. Right. So the Kindles don't work if you're out of electricity. Right. Your library's gone. And so this idea sprang up from honestly kind of looking at what the word kindling means. Kindle itself comes from Old English, Old Norse, for kindling, meaning to start a fire. It also means to burn, to excite, to illuminate. But kindle is burning something. Isn't it interesting that through history we've had these book burnings by those authoritarian types who like to get their hands on something, right? Kind of an amazing thing. So let's take that one step further, okay? Back in 2007, when Jeff Bezos came out with this, listen to this paragraph from the article that announced Kindle. Kindle, which was manufactured by an undisclosed Chinese original equipment manufacturer, connects to its specialized Amazon store via an EVDO, Evolution Data Optimized Cellular Network, through Amazon WhisperNet. It was built atop Sprint's EVDO network. No data plan or monthly bill is required. We pay for all that behind the scenes, so you can just read, Bezos said. I swear this guy is just so... Well, we'll find out he's another evil little Bill Gates. But anyway, and very little short man complex thing going on there. Anyway, adding that he estimated that he would take less than a minute to download a book. And Bezos also announced that dozens of newspapers, from the New York Times to France's Le Monde, would also be available for this device, as well as magazines and 300 of the most popular blogs. On Kindle, he said, newspapers are delivered while you sleep, automatically. The publications will receive a cut of the subscription fee revenue. No advertising will be displayed on them. Additionally, Kindle comes with an electronic dictionary and access to Wikipedia. And each device, as news.com, will provide the user with a personal Kindle email address so that the word processing files, such as Microsoft Word, as well as image files, could be sent to an ebook reader. It's a lot of centralization of news and information and personal files, okay? Then he also said, he reiterated that the book was due for a 21st century makeover. This was 6 years before he took over the post. And what I found kind of interesting about this was that he actually cited this and said, this will be Earth's biggest bookstore. And he would sell the clouding, you know, computing services to the enterprise, to Amazon. And then also he talked about how newspapers were going out at the time in 2007 and 2009. There were two different articles where he said newspapers are going out. Print is out because it's the business of news. It doesn't need to be in print. It just needs to be the news, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, everything you just described, I have on my phone now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I subscribe to several newspapers. They have a dictionary that words are even highlighted that they think I won't know what they mean.
No, it's true, right?
Yeah.
It's true. So it started really exploding in popularity, and then he came out with different versions of Kindle. But I did find it interesting that he named it Kindle.
The first thing, when you told me about that, the first thing I thought of was Fahrenheit 451.
Yes. Yes. I know exactly why. Yeah, absolutely.
It was the first thing I thought of. Fahrenheit 451 is a temperature.
Yeah.
And the significance of that temperature is that that's the temperature that in which paper will auto-ignite without being exposed to a direct flame.
Ew, that's weird.
So you put it in a room that gets that hot, it'll just burst into flame. And the firemen in the book were not guys that put out fires. They were the guys running around burning books.
Right. No, that's weird.
Yeah, it was a really good book.
Okay. And so, it is, I don't know if a lot of people have even thought of that, why it was named Kindle. Out of all the things they could have picked, kindling for a fire?
Yep.
As in books? Because in all the articles that I went over, it was again and again and again sort of going over the fact that they were going to absolutely redo what a book was. Now, when I had Don Fotheringham on the show, another World War II vet, by the way, he came on, he said, when I wrote my book, The President Makers, You have to read that book, by the way. He said over and over again on this show that he has to go to people's attics to find books that are no longer in print anymore, because the only things in print were the things to sort of shore up what new history looks like since about 1907. It's very hard to find books previous to that. When the Ford Foundation and the Carnegie Foundation decided they wanted to change history and decided that they would be put in charge of education in our history books and so forth. So that started in 1907. It's really hard to find books before that. And people are encouraged, oh, get rid of stuff. Get rid of those books. You have it all on electronics now. It's all on electronics. You don't have any need for it. He said it was very difficult to find this stuff. So, you know, I'm just, sometimes I think we need to put a few more pieces together. You know, this is a guy that eventually wants to run pharmaceuticals through Amazon. He wants to be in charge of your healthcare and what you get and what's manufactured and what comes to your door through Amazon's pharmaceutical deliveries and things like that. And he's got a lot more up his sleeve to control than we think.
I find it interesting that in this time where we're talking about statues being torn down to erase history, as every day, 10,000 books are destroyed.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And isn't it funny that they, when talking about this, they would not disclose the Chinese manufacturer? It said undisclosed Chinese manufacturer. I thought that was kind of interesting,
undisclosed.
Too. Why not just say who it is? They're obviously developing a lot of Kindles. They're obviously in business for a lot of business. Why in the world would you not? Why would you have to leave that undisclosed? It doesn't make any sense. I don't know. Kindling for a fire. Just thought we'd push that out there. Thanks, Susan Hat Tip. Very interesting stuff.
Very interesting.
And then he became the owner of a newsprint newspaper? Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Very strange.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
What a douche. Did he even wash his hands, though? The toilet paper's frightening. Very, very frightening me.
Got a lay low.
Masturbate.
I'm just a poor boy facing mortality.
He's just a poor boy facing mortality. Spare him his life from this monstrosity.
Touch your face, wash your hands. Will you wash your hands?
Miss Miller,
no, we will not wash our hands.
Wash your hands.
Miss Miller,
we will not wash our hands.
Wash your hands.
Miss Miller,
wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
Never wash our hands. Never, no.
No, 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 no.
Mamma mia, mamma mia,
mamma mia, wash your hands.
COVID-19 has a sickness put aside for me.
Now, if you're in your car and you're doing the headbanger to this, okay, and you're wearing a mask, there's a problem. So, welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. Go to katedalyradio.com. By the way, the letters, Dr. Bitar letter that you can have on your person or click a screenshot of it for your phone or whatever the case may be, it will help you out. This was the letter Dr. Bitar wrote for you that you could have on your person. So wearing a mask or not wearing a mask wouldn't be an issue. And make sure that you have that. Just go to the homepage on my website, katedalyradio.com. And then there's a button that says COVID-19 on it, and you can press that button, and there's also posters you can print out for your business courtesy of Chris Ann Hall. I have Uncle Milty with me, and I love the hat tip to a listener out there for this, but you know, I love the comment back. If somebody says, why won't you wear the mask, just look right back at them and say, doesn't your mask work? If your mask works, we're good here.
Yeah.
You don't need double protection. You're fine. Your mask is working for you then. No problem. You just let me alone and I'll worry about whether I'm going to stick a flimsy piece of cotton on my face and act like I can public shame people or not. Okay?
It's better to err on the side of caution and wear two masks.
Yes. So we were just kind of going down, you know, the rabbit hole. There's another thing. So we were talking about Amazon and the word Kindle and how many of us have Kindle, but I think few of us ever thought about where the origin of that word came from and maybe why it was named for that. And it was basically, I mean, if you think of Kindle and think of kindling and think of book burning, kind of interesting that Bezos refers to that several times as books are in the past. That's yesterday's story. We're on to the next century and you won't see a printed book. We're going to take care of that for you. And then they used an undisclosed Chinese company to manufacture the Kindles, used their new WhisperNet at the time, which was like a 3G WhisperNet to house this stuff on. And he said, you know, now Kindle has... I mean, people are buying books on Kindle every second of every day. It's become a big thing. So bring me down another rabbit hole, because you know how I love the rabbit holes. Actually, I'll take a call, and then I want you to bring me down another one. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
An interesting thing is when they upgraded the Kindle, the new name was the Kindle Fire.
Yes, I forgot to mention that. That's actually in my notes. Yeah. Yes, Kindle Fire. It was the DX, and then it was Kindle Fire. Yeah, that's just the one everybody has. Thank you. Yep, sorry about that. I didn't get that. I had that in my notes. Kindle Fire. What does that tell you?
Amazing.
Ouch. There's just always more behind the story, isn't there?
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of interesting things about government.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1917, there was a man born in New York City by the name of William Wilhelm.
Mm-hmm.
Or Warren Wilhelm. I'm sorry. Warren Wilhelm.
Warren Wilhelm.
He committed suicide in 1979 after a divorce, being absent from his children. He developed lung cancer and committed suicide in 1979. He had a son, Warren Wilhelm Jr. Warren Wilhelm Jr. was he worked for an agency called the Quixote Center, which was strongly supported the Marxist-Leninist ruling government of Nicaragua, the Sandinista Liberation Front. Well, Warren Wilhelm Jr. actually changed his name.
Oh, I cannot wait to hear what he changed it to. So this is a guy, wait a minute, this is a guy, describe the connection to the Sandinistas again?
Yeah, he worked for a company called the Quixote Center, like Don Quixote, worked for the Quixote Center, and which that center strongly supported the Marxist-Leninist ruling government of Nicaragua. They called it the Sandinista Liberation Front. So he worked for the Sandinistas,
kind of.
But anyway.
As Snopes would say, it was just kind of.
Yeah, just kind of. There was just a little connection
there. Right, I mean, Sandinistas.
Anyway, he changed his name. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was because he was embarrassed about his dad committing suicide or what.
Or maybe it was because he supported the socialist government of the Sandinistas in Nicaragua.
Maybe that, too. He didn't want that known.
Right.
But he became a man named Bill de Blasio, who is now the mayor of New York City.
So he legally changed his name right around 9/11 in 2001. For personal reasons, he said.
Yeah. I was connected to the Sandinistas.
Wow.
And he's a strange bird.
He's very weird. Yeah. Nipple rings and everything. He's very, very strange. Very strange cat. That's interesting because I think a lot of people probably don't know about his big, huge name change. I mean, we're not talking he went from Willie to Bill.
Yeah.
Richard to Dick. We're talking about going from Warren Wilhelm.
Junior.
He's a junior for Pete's sakes. To Bill de Blasio. To what? Hide his connections?
Well,
even Snopes can't knock this one down. I mean, Snopes can try to knock everybody down, but they couldn't even do this one. That's interesting. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Oh, hi.
Hi there.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember me. I'm the old guy that suggested deporting all the known communists in this country.
Yeah. That would be good.
That might have been a good idea, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're onto something.
I mean, look where we are now.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's pretty scary, isn't it? They're running the show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's terrifying, really. I mean, these people are serious.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this guy, I mean, Bill de Blasio, openly supports Marxist-Lenin ruling government of Nicaragua. I mean, you know, they can't hide who they are. It comes out. And I wish we did more homework on the people in government, in government, because together with some get who you get.
Well, you're right about that. Mm-hmm. But it still seems like there's some kind of legality there where the known people that hate America, it's like having the Third Reich, you know, right, as your next door neighbor,
yep,
or something.
Isn't it kind of crazy? His dad, you know, went to Yale. I wonder if he was in the same group as the Bushes. I don't know. Just questioning. Just, you know, thinking outside. Yeah. Just wondering.
Well, it'd be nice, though. I think, wouldn't our country be more calm and sort of like the old days if there wasn't communists everywhere?
Yes,
absolutely there would be. Thank you for that. Appreciate the thought.
Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're at the helm. That's why I say a liberal progressive, I don't know how they would call themselves an American. They're anti-America. Mm-hmm. They're anti-everything we stand for, even the God part. Usually you'll find a progressive liberal hates God, too. I mean, it's all wrapped up in the same because they worship government too much for there to be room for God in their lives. So it's always about worship the government. Yeah.
So Snopes said it's mostly true.
Part is mostly?
Here's the part that might be false. The claims of subterfuge or secrecy on his part. It says de Blasio has publicly discussed the deeply personal and somewhat traumatic reasons for his decision to change his name.
Why? When they finally made it come to light when he was running for office and he had to actually discuss it so it didn't look like he was hiding too much?
Yeah.
Is that why? Anyway. Oh, man. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, one thing I found out in the news where they were talking about today was how if you're on a foreign visa here going to college and that college is going to be online only, you got to find a different college because your visa doesn't work for that.
Ooh.
Cool.
Yeah.
And that's the way. Now, who runs the immigration, the visa, all that INS, that's the executive branch, and that's basically the president's way of saying, look, I don't care what you colleges think you want to do, but here's what you're going to do.
I love it.
You're going to open for class.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you're going to lose about 30% of your students.
Right. No, you're right. And they can do it from their home, can't they?
It's interesting that you say that because Cornell University announced that this fall they're going to have in-person classes at the university.
But then what's the caveat? What's the catch?
They're going to raise tuition.
They're going to raise tuition to have the same class you just took last semester, or 2 semesters ago. And they're going to raise it so that you can have an in-person experience, you know, behind a shield or a face mask. But you could, they're going to raise it. But you know what, though, caller? You're really on to something because why can't they then just do online school from their home nation? They don't have to be here.
That's right.
Right?
Right. Huh. Exactly. And that's the point, is that if you're not in the classroom, there's no reason you have to be here. And now they're finding, hey, you guys are going to pay the same amount of money even though you're not in a class. So you're paying for the classroom experience without actually getting it.
Well,
and the interaction with students and everything else, working in groups and all that kind of situation. That's the keystone to why you go to college. An employer says, oh, you've got an education that says that you work in groups and you do study on higher educational.
If
you're sitting at home and all you have to do is watch it and then you can Google whatever the questions are at the same time, well, that's pretty ridiculous. You know, a teacher can stand there and say, okay, if you have your smartphone out while you're doing this coursework, you're going to get in trouble.
Sure.
Well, you can't do that online.
Right.
That's no supervision.
Good point. Thank you.
Yeah. So I kind of disagree with one thing.
Mm-hmm.
The caller kind of insinuated that this might be the president's way of getting the colleges open.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's the president's way of getting rid of the foreign students.
It's kind of like it's kind of like the change to China.
Right.
All of a sudden, we don't have a lot of the supplies, things like aspartame, which is horrible for you, and aluminum cans and antifreeze and all the stuff that goes into all these things.
I'm missing
it. Hey, well, maybe America starts to produce all of its own stuff.
Yeah.
Let's just give that let's just put that on the thought train and run it around the track for a moment. Kind of interesting, maybe some of the fallout of this.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a while yet before we see the whole picture together.
Wow, yeah, kind of interesting. Well, to see where all this lands, I'm sure. But I sure appreciate all your calls in. I really do. There's just so many. There's so many rabbit holes like this. You know, clear back in, clear back going back all the way to Ben Franklin of 1722.
Who?
Who? You sound like an owl. Who? So you know, when we're even talking about that, he was talking about the chains. He was talking about the freedom of thought, and Melissa and Aaron Dykes brought this up, and I actually love their documentaries. If you want to see some good documentaries, they really dive in. Their one on mind control was amazing. It's 3 hours, but you'd never guess, because it's 3 hours of just what they were able to do in the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s. Anyway, the CIA. So they actually talked about a letter penned by Benjamin Franklin under the pseudonym Mrs. Silence Duguid to his brother James' newspaper, the New England Courant. And this was printed in 1722, long before the Constitution was penned. And what's interesting about this is it was talking about here representation of the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights. That would become the Bill of Rights 60 years later. And one of the phrases he put was, without freedom of thought, I'm getting it right here, there would be no wisdom. There would be no such thing as wisdom without freedom of thought. And I leave that with you today. So without freedom of thought, here's the whole phrase, there can be no such thing as wisdom, no such thing as public liberty. Without freedom of speech, which is the right of every man, as far as by it he does not hurt or control the right of another, and this is the only check it ought to suffer and the only bounds it ought to know. It is the only check it ought to suffer and the only bounds it ought to know. Thank you for those words of wisdom. Mm-hmm. We know that a lot came from the Magna Carta, but you know what's interesting is there was a huge piece on this, and I'll tell you something, there are so many words of wisdom that were written long before that hold true today that need to be explored and studied and thought about today. We're losing all of this. Thank you, Uncle Milty.
Uh-huh.
All right. Back with Melissa and Susan tomorrow. And, of course, be faithful, be fearless. See you here tomorrow. Go to the website, katedalyradio.com.